Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Lamed Vav. We're in Lamed Hamed Beis. We're going to be starting two lines down after the lines start getting wider with the words EC. EC is the name of a tana. We're going to introduce ourselves to him momentarily. In the meantime, however, we are in a big sugya here in the first parak of Kedushin. Really extraordinarily long parak, 40 blot of Gemara. We're almost wrapping it up. Today's daf is Lamed Vav. So we get to Mem, and actually including Mem. So that's going to be the end of the first parak. But extraordinarily long parak. But here at the end of the parak, at the tail end of the parak, starting from Chavtes until the end of the parak, so we're going to be doing some very large topics of who's obligated in mitzvahs, who's not obligated in mitzvahs, mitzvah seseh she'azman grama, mitzvah seseh she'in hazman grama. So that has really preoccupied our time now for the last number of days, really starting on Lamed Dalet, right? Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey. So we got onto this topic of discovering sources in the Torah that teaches us that women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs. And then afterwards, we turn to the lavim of the Torah, the negative prohibitions of the Torah. Women are bound by all negative prohibitions of the Torah with notable exceptions. So the notable exceptions take us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us a notable exception. Let's review. There are three notable exceptions. So women are bound by every one of the negative prohibitions, the lavim of the Torah, with exception to, and so they are hashchata, hakafa, and bal tatam lemesim. So hashchata and hakafa are two isurim in the Torah regarding grooming. So one is not allowed to, let's start with hakafa, one is not allowed to round the corners of their head and basically cut off your payas, cut off your sideburns. So that is an isur in the Torah. And hashchata, one is not allowed to shave their face with a razor. So those are two isurim of the Torah applying to men, not applying to women. Why don't they apply to women? Sorry, just lost my ability to speak for just a moment. So why don't they apply to women? So the answer is they go back to yesterday's daf. So in the course of yesterday's daf, so we discussed that extensively. All right, the Gemara cited sourcing in terms of how we got arrived at that conclusion. Not a simple answer to that question, but the Gemara yesterday had answers. Anyway, but that's the conclusion, obviously. Women are exempted from these two averas of the Torah. And in addition to that, Tatam Lemesim. Tatam Lemesim was easy. Meaning for that, we had a pasuk, Beferish pasuk in Parshas Zamor that says that women are in fact excluded from Tumas Meis, which means that if you are a Bas Kohen, so you can go to the cemetery. Right? There'd be no problem whatsoever for you to go to the cemetery. You're not bound by that. It's in the Torah. Those are the three notable exclusions, and we're ready to get up to the next Mishnah. Almost. Almost. Just that half of today's daf is that we're going to entertain now another opinion, right? The opinion of EC. EC is the name of a tana. So he happens to be of the position that there really is a fourth avera in the Torah that does not include women. And so let's start right away. So EC Tini, so EC taught the following braisa, and that is af bal yikruchu. So there's an issue in the Torah of bal yikruchu, that one is not allowed to make a bald spot on their head over the loss of somebody. The pesukim we'll get to in just a moment. So according to EC, this is not an isser on women. So nashim paturas, women are excluded from this. Women would be exempt. So my time to EC the darash achi. So how did he arrive at this conclusion? So it goes from the following. Now we're gonna go to Parsha 3a. We're gonna go to the beginning of the 14th parak. There, bani matan l'ashem l'kechem losus go to do. V'lo sasimu karcha beinei nechal lameis ki am kadosh ata l'ashem l'kecha. So Banim v'lo banus l'karcha. So over here, how are we going to be darshing the pasuk? In the following manner. So let's take apart the pasuk in two sections. Section number one is banim atem l'ashem l'kechem lo tizgo didu. Lo tizgo didu. Now, I know the Gemara elsewhere discusses extensively what we're not allowed to do is form agudos. Agudos, we're not allowed to make factions amongst the Jewish people. Have one group doing one thing, another group doing another thing. That we're not allowed to do. Okay? And that for a separate time, we'll discuss that. Where do we have that discussion in detail? It was towards the beginning of Yevamos, Daf Yudalit, if I remember correctly. Anyway, that's not our discussion right now. The simple pshat of lotis go to do is that one is not allowed to make any kind of serration in their body. Okay? You're not allowed to make a laceration in your body. So losis go to do means that basically you're not allowed to mark up your body. Mark up over here, I don't mean ink. I mean actually cutting your body. So banim atel nashem lakechem lotis go to do. So over here, you are banim. You are my sons. So the losis godudu seems to be going only on the male, not on the female. That's the first half of the pasuk. But now let's analyze the second half of the pasuk. And don't make a bald spot on beinenechem, literally between your eyes, but between your eyes means on your head. We'll come back to that later in just a couple of minutes from now. So because I'm kadosh atah l'shem lekecha, because you're a holy nation. So now, before I get to the punchline of this braisa, what comes out over here is the following. I really have two halves. The pasuk is really divided, meaning the first half is talking about the issur of losis godudu, and the second half is talking about losis imukarcha. Now, these issurim are obviously very similar to one another. Losis godudu is that you're not allowed to make a serration anywhere in your body. Losis imukarcha is that you're not allowed to make a bald spot on your head. Okay, and all of that over the grief of having lost someone. Okay, that part's easy. Easy, meaning just in terms of a simple pshat in the pasuk. Here's where it gets tricky, and that is that the first half is addressing the men, because it says, Banim atem l'shem l'kechem, and the second half is addressing everybody. Why? Because it says, Ki am kadosh ata, your holy nation. A holy nation includes men and women. So, the easiest way to read the pasuk would be is that this issur of losis godudu is only for men, not for women, and the issur of karcha is for everybody. That's how you would read the pasuk without the braisa. Now we have the braisa. The braisa says banim v'lo banas karcha. That when the pasuk opens up with the words banim, so banim is on the whole pasuk, meaning certainly on the losis godudu. That seems clear, and even on the losasimu karcha, that also is only for banim and not for banos. Okay, the obvious question, which we're going to get to momentarily, is what do you do with the end of the pasuk when it says ki am kadosh ata? But we'll come back to that.
Boni means sons. How would he say children? You are my children.
Right. Huh? We asked a similar question yesterday. In other words, right, when we darshan by the losetam and lemesim, the pasuk we darshan was bnei aron v'lo benos aron. Right. In other words, it's a term that usually is a description of everybody, but sometimes it describes only the men, not the women. Correct. And how do I know when to read it literally versus figuratively? So, Ben asked me that question yesterday. It's tough. But it's clear, however, the Gemara's understanding banim over here is men, not women. Okay. So ata omer lekarchoeno ala legedida. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. That's not the simple reading of the pasuk. Simple reading of the pasuk is the way I laid it out. That the gedida is for only men, and the karch is for men and for women. So keshuam rekam kadoshat alashem lakecha hare gedida amur. So mani mekayim banim v'lo banos lekarcha. So when it says am kadosh alashem lakecha, so that is a reference to the isra of gedida, meaning women are included in gedida. And then when we have banim is only going on the karcha. And effectively, what we just did is we kind of like flip the pasuk, meaning that even though in the beginning of the pasuk it mentions banim and gedida, so we're taking banim and we're moving it to the karcha, which is at the end of the pasuk. And am kadosh, so that we are modifying the beginning of the pasuk, which is the issur of gedida. Now, I hope all that was clear. In other words, but it's really not the simple reading of the pasuk. Umare is la rabos is a gedida ulahos is a karcha. And the Gemara basically asked the question, how did you know how to do that? Meaning, right, the banim now is going on the end, and the am kadosh is going on the beginning. Well, who told you to do that? So, mar bani is a gedida shiyesham b'makom aseir shalom b'makom seyar, umotzi ani is a karcha sheinu ala b'makom seyar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we did it that way, and that is because gedida. Where is gedida apply anywhere in the body? So gedida is making a serration in your body. It is basically marking yourself, and there's no limitation of where in the body it applies. So it's a broader isser. Since it's a broader isser, so we're going to assume that it's going to apply to more people, i.e. men and women. Karcha, on the other hand, making a bald spot out of grief, so obviously that only applies to the head where you are growing hair. Obviously their hair is on the other part of the body. But the term kereach is usually in reference to the head. So the karcha over here is only limited to the head. So since the area on the body in which it's limited, so therefore it's limited in terms of who it applies to, men and not women. Okay. So veim abanim v'lo banos ben lekarcha ben legedida v'chi katzav ka'am kereshat al shem lekecha. So b'sritu d'chziv. So the Gemara says, well, how about this? In other words, can I put the following out there for at least entertainment? Entertainment, by the way, I mean entertaining the idea. Okay. So that is that banim v'lo banos is modifying both of the activities in that pasuk. In other words, there are two isurim in that pasuk, gedida and kircha. And maybe the banim is going on both. I'm kadoshata. Maybe it's going on something totally different. Srita. Srita is also marking your body. The gedida is doing it with your hand. Srita is doing it with an instrument. Okay? So says Rashi. So maybe that's the way to understand the pasuk. Now, this suggestion of the Gemara, which we're going to entertain for not that long, is really a little bit challenging because Srita is not mentioned in the pasuk at all. So in other words, at least up until now, we were entertaining how to limit the scope of the two Isurim that are actually mentioned in the Pasuk. Srita over here, which we're entertaining, is not even in the Pasuk. So it is definitely challenging how the Gemara can even put this out there for consideration. But it does. So b'sritu d'chziv. So k'savisi sritu gedida achasi. So the Gemara says, well, the reason why it's not even open for consideration is because Isi will tell you that Srita and Gedida are categorically the same, meaning they're very similar to one another. Both of those are basically harming yourself, making a mark on your body. I say mark, by the way, just keep in mind. What I'm trying to say is basically cutting yourself. But in other words, you're scratching yourself with your fingers or using an instrument, all because you are grieving over the loss. So, and Gedida's with your hand and Srita's with an instrument. What Isi will tell you is that they're one and the same, meaning that halachically, categorically, they're the same. So when the Torah is describing Gedida, it's also describing Srita as well. So there's no way that we can make any differentiation between Gedida and Srita. And so therefore, that suggestion is taken off the table. Okay. Where do we stand right now? Okay, so we have this position of Isi. In the Braisa, what he teaches us is that there is another law in the Torah in which does not include women, and that additional law in the Torah is to exclude women from the Isser of making a bald spot on your head when you're grieving over the loss of a loved one. Okay, so that only applies to men, not to women. And how do we arrive at that conclusion? Using a pasuk from Parshas Re, and darshaning that pasuk. Okay, Abaye, we are now on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Abaye Marhayna Taima De'Isi. Now he's also going to give voice to this position of Isi, but Abaye's of the position that we didn't understand the sourcing correctly. In other words, according to Abaye, the makor is coming from a different source. So Degamar Karcha. Karcha. So basically, what comes in out? It comes out from Exirishava. Karcha. Karcha mimne Aaron. So we find not once but twice in the Torah this issur of not making a bald spot. One in Parshas Re that we just cited, right? Velosa sima karcha bein nechem. And then what you're going to do is you're going to back up to Parshas Amor in the beginning of Parshas Amor. Perchaf aleph pasuk hey lo yikrchu karcha birosham. Now that obviously is in reference to the Kohanim. So Mibnei Aaron, right? It says so. So Ma Lahalam Nashim Peturos, Afkan Nashim Peturos. So just like over there, women are exempt. So too over here, women are exempt. Now, how do I know that women are exempt over there in Parsha Samor? Because the Parsha opens up with Bnei Aharon. Bnei Aharon v'lo Bnos Aaron. Go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. So there, all those Yisurim only apply to the male Kohanim, not female Kohanim. So too now, via Gzereshava, we're going to say the same thing regarding the Isra of Karcha as it relates to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Isra lan dechiksiv krabekulein yanu dechiksiv nishakrami nevetesi bekavachomer. Now, when the Torah darshins over there, that only applies to men, not to the women. Meaning there, I meant in Parsha Samor, only applying to men and not to women. So it's bechol inyan. It's talking about every one of the Yisurim over there. Or at least we are entertaining that's talking about every Yisur over there. Like we said in yesterday's daf, there are five Yisurim mentioned over there at the beginning of Parshas Emor. And when it says B'nai Aaron, maybe it's going on all five. So the Gemara says, if you think that, so then here's what you could have done. In other words, we now know that there's an Yisur of Karcha by Kohanim. we would say then it only applies to the males, not to the females. And then we would have applied a kavachomer. So the kavachomer, the ana amina. So then what we would have said is that, look, if women Kohanim are excluded from this Isser, certainly women non-Kohanim are excluded from that Isser as well. Okay, if you recall the way I said it yesterday, women are simply holier. I'm sorry, Kohen women. Nishay Kohanim are holier, meaning Kohanim are holier. All right, let's start there. Right, they're chayvin more mitzvos, they're bound by more averos, they have more kedusha. Okay, right, it's, you know, I know it's a little bit blunt, but okay, we could say. So if we're going to say now that there's an aver that doesn't apply to the nishay kohanim, i.e. karcha, so surely it shouldn't apply to the nishay yisrael as well. That's the kavachamer that would have been applied had we known that the bnei kohanim and the bnos kohanim are applicable to all the Yisroel mentioned at the beginning of that parsha. I admit, by the way, all this is a little bit complicated, but that's what we would have done. So Elav Zereshava, Hava Mina Hivsika Inyan. So the Gemara says, so what the Zereshava is telling us, meaning what the Zereshava now is doing is that the Zereshava is basically saying, no, Hivsika Inyan, that over there's a break in the application of B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nos Aaron, and therefore, the Gzeir Shavah is there to supplement. So the Gemara says, Hashanami Neima, Hivsika Inyan. So the Imishum Gzeir Shavah Mibayle Lechadetanya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could say the following. I could still say Hivsika Inyan. And as far as the Gzeir Shavah is concerned, maybe the Gzeir Shavah is coming to make a separate point altogether. Very similar to the discussion we had yesterday, meaning that the Gzeir Shavah is teaching us a totally different halacha. Nothing to do with the scope of the Isser, of who's in and who's out, but just a halacha, maybe it teaches me something about the actual halacha itself. Meaning, let's start with that pasuk in Parshas Emor. It says lo yikrechu. Now, a careful observation will tell you that it says in the plural. So maybe the Isser in the Torah is that even if I make, let's say, not one, but five different bald spots on your head, maybe that amounts to one lav in the Torah. That's what I would have thought. So Tamalamar, Karcha, Lechaiva Kol Achas V'Achas. So the Karcha of Parshas Re'eh, so what is that coming to teach me? That's coming to teach me that you're going to be Chayv on each and every bald spot that you make on your head. Oh. Okay, so maybe the Gzeir Shava is nothing to do with who's in and who's out of the Avera, but rather, maybe it has to do with the halacha of how many Yisroel are there for multiple bald spots. So, B'ra Shamatam Lamar, Lefisha Nemer Losis, Godiv Losis, Simakarcha Bein Enechem Lameis, Lo Yechav Ela Al Bein Ha'enayim, Minan L'Rabbos, Kol Rosh, Shamatam Lamar, B'ra Sham L'Chayiv Al Rosh, Ke Bein Ha'enayim. Okay. Also, additional to that as well. How else is Gzeir Shavah helping us out? It's helping us out in terms of location on the head. Meaning the Torah says, don't make a bald spot. Do not remove hair. Now, from where? So in one place it says, Bein Ha'inayim. Right? That's the pasuk in Re'eh. Losis go to Velosis Simu Karcha Bein Einechem Lemeis. So Bein Einechem literally means right between the eyes. Okay? In other words, right, we have eyebrows and so maybe making a bald spot means between the eyebrows. Okay, that's a simple and literal interpretation of Bein Einechem. On the other hand, I go back to Parshas Emor. Over there it says, Birot Sham, on your head. So now, right, and that's of course the whole head. So Tam Lamer, Birot Sham, L'chayv Al Arosh Kebein Ha'inayim. So again, the Gzeir Shavah, having nothing to do with who's included, who's not included, but having to do with teaching me halachas regarding the Isser itself. The Ainli Ala Kohanim Shariba Behemakasa of Mitzvah Sisir, Sisom, and Alan Nemakan, Karcha, and Emma Lahalan, Karcha. So, Makan Chayva Kol Karcha, the Karcha, the Chayva Ala Roshka Bein Ainayim, Aflahalan Chayva Kol Karcha, the Karcha, the Chayva Ala Roshka Bein Ainayim, Umalahalan Ames of Kan Ames. So, over here, so what does the Gzeir Shavah do? So, it opens the portals between the two psukim. And basically, what we learned in one applies to the other. What we learned in the other applies to this one. So what do we learn by the Kohanim? Two things. Number one, your chayv al kol karcha v'karcha. Every bald spot is an iser in of itself. Number one. Number two, location. That one would be usher if they made a bald spot bein ha'inayim and over the head. And so these two halachas now are going to be moved over, not moved over, but also applicable to that of Klal Yisrael, meaning that those two halachas now are applicable to Klal Yisrael. And in the parsha of Lo Tisgo Dedu, so there it's al hames. In other words, the avera is only when you make a bald spot while grieving over the loss of someone who died. So too, now in Parsha Semur, same thing as well. So effectively what we just said is that the Gzeira Shavah is basically spoken for. We have now what to do with the Gzeira Shavah. You're trying to use the Gzeira Shavah as a way of indicating who's included and who's excluded. Women are in, I'm sorry, men are in, women are out. The Gemara says the Gzeira Shavah is spoken for. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Imke nechtov kra, kereach. My karcha shma min atarte. The Torah says the word karcha with a hay. Didn't have to. Could have just simply said kereach without the hay. By virtue of the fact that now that it has it with a hay, so that now allows for two drashas. One drasha, all of the above that we just said. A second drasha of who's included and who's not included in the Yisra. Okay. That was a long sentence. a bit of a run-on. But according to Abaye, what is the source of Isi? It's the extra hay of Karcha, allowing now for the Gzeirah Shavah to teach me two separate points. Okay, that's a quick summation of Abaye's viewpoint. So far, what do we have right now? The halach of Isi, which is that women are excluded from this Avera in the Torah of Lo Sasimu Karcha. Don't make a bald spot on your head. That is the, and that's Isi's opinion. That clearly is not the opinion of our Mishnah. Okay, that's fine. In other words, Isi's a Tana, who's of the position that there's a fourth Aver that women are excluded from. So far this morning, what we've done is that we've gone over not one, but two explanations of how to arrive at this conclusion, and we have one more to finish up our morning. Rava, Amar Hainatam, Medisi, Diyala, Beinenecha, Mitfilin. Rava is now going to attack this and learn it using a third explanation. And that is Bein Enechem from Tefillin. Ma'alal Nashim Peturos, Afkan Nashim Peturos. So just like by Tefillin, women are exempt. Right, we've discussed that extensively in the last number of Dapim. So two women are exempt also by Karcha because of the similar language of Bein Enechem. Okay, not exactly Bein Enechem, but anyway. So V'Rava Ma'itam Lo Amar Ka'Abaye Karcha Lo Mashmalo. Now, as far as Rav is concerned, why didn't he use the Abaye explanation? So he says, because we're not going to generate an entire halacha based on an extra hay. V'Abaye Ma'itam Lo Amar Ka'Rava Amar Lecha Tefillin Gufayo Me'hacha Gamala Ma'ala Halan Makom She'osim Karcha V'Gova Shorosh Afkan Makom Hanacha V'Gova Arosh. Now, as far as Abaye, why didn't he accept Rava's interpretation? Because Abaye will tell Rava, you're incorrect about what we're learning. We are not learning a halacha from tefillin to karcha, but just the opposite. We're learning a halacha from karcha to that of tefillin. Okay, now, it basically goes like this. The issur of making a bald spot on your head, as we learned earlier, it meaning that you're not allowed to take hair out of your head, remove a hair from your head. Meaning, and from since there, the issur of bein karcha is on your head, the issur of tefillin, where the Torah uses the same terminology of bein einechem, does not literally mean between your eyes, but basically on your head. Meaning, it teaches us where the tefillin is supposed to go. Tefillin's supposed to go on your head and not between your eyes. Okay, this is actually, they're all important halachas. But in other words, but this is very practical, this applies daily, and that is where's the correct place for your tefillin. So some put it on their forehead, some people put it actually between their eyes. Okay, all this is incorrect, right? Could not say it any clearer. It is patently incorrect to put the tefillin anywhere other than on your head, meaning where your hair either is or was. Okay. Right? In other words, where the hair, okay, it's life. So wherever the hair was growing on the head, that's the makom hanacha tefillin. Now, parenthetically, obviously, you don't put the bias anywhere on the head that you want. In other words, it has to go in the front part of your head. But in terms of we're just talking about the front limits of where the tefillin should go. So the front of the box of the tefillin should be no lower than where your hairline either is or was. Okay? And how do I know that? So Abayi says, we learn it from this point over here. Meaning the iser of karcha, when it comes to making a bald spot on your head, so over there it's on your head. So from there we learn out that that's where the makam hanachas tefillin is.
Do Abayi and Mordo give explanation for Isi? Do they
hold
like him?
I was thinking it the whole time that we're going through the sugya. Abaye and Rava right now, who's giving voice to how Isi arrives at that conclusion. Are they just explaining Isi, or do they hold like him as well? So Phil asked the question. The hold off. I've been thinking the same question. I don't know the answer, but at least you and I are like, you know, we're sharing a thought. It'd be better if I had an answer, but I don't know. So the Ubein La Abaye, Ubein La Rava. So Hai Banim Atem Hai Darshi Bei. So the Gemara says now, Abaye and Rava gave his explanation. Sorry, numbers 2 and 3. There is a first explanation, by the way, meaning before an Abaye and Rava came into the sugya. So we had an original explanation, if you will, of EC, and that was how to touch up the pasuk. So the Gemara says, why didn't they go with that explanation? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Hami Bai Lelechad Tanya. No. As far as the pasuk is concerned, Abanim Atel LaHashem, they feel that it's there to teach us a different halacha altogether. Notably, Abanim Atel LaHashem Lachem Bezman Shatem Nohagim Minag Banim Atem Kruim Banim In Atem Nohagim Minag Banim In Atem Kruim Banim Div Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, when we behave correctly, properly, so we can call ourselves Banim. But when we are not behaving correctly and appropriately, therefore, we cannot be referred to as banim. Now, it's not just a name game. In other words, it's not just, okay, now we can no longer call ourselves children of Hashem, sons of Hashem. So there is halachic ramifications to it. It happens to be, the Gemara does not spell out what exactly the ramifications are. A significant discussion in terms of what exactly that would translate into, how would that practically manifest. But meanwhile, however, we're going to go on. Rabbi Meir Omer ben Kach ben Kach atem kurim banim shenemra banim schalim hema veomer banim lo umam bam veomer zera mireim banim mashchisim veomer vaya b'makom asher yamer lahem lo ami atem yamer lahem b'nai kel chai. Okay, 4 psukim in a row that we just read it off, that even when we're not on our best behavior, these are loose translations on my part, as I'm just summarizing what these four psukim all speak to. If we are not perfectly behaved, okay, I'm being nice. I'm being extraordinarily generous. If we're not perfectly behaved, we are still called banim. We still are given the title of being Hashem's children. So my Va'omer, the Gemara wants to know, why did you have to string together 4 psukim to make the same point? V'chitem asachli hu demikre bani kileisu behu emnuysa lo mikre bani. Look, if we're sachli over here means a little bit foolish. Okay, so a little bit foolish, we're still banim. But if we're mamish, have no emuna, so then no. So that comes in pasuk number 2. So tashma v'yomer banim lo umam bam, even without uman, even without emuna, we're still banim. V'chite makileis v'hu en musa hu de mikre banim ki pachol avos kochamim lo mikre banim. Okay, so if we have no emuna, we're still banim. But what if we're over to avodah zarah? Are we still banim there? So tashma v'yomer zera merim bay mashchitim. And I might have thought that, okay, so even if we're over to Avodah Zarah, we're banim, but it b'nei mashchitin. But you know what I mean? We're destructive children. So tashma v'yomer v'ayah b'mokah b'sher ayah amar lahem lo ami atem yah amar lahem b'ni el chai. Okay, so, and the last pasuk comes to tell us that no, even we're over to Avodah Zarah, we're still banim. Okay, in other words, and not any kind of lower class banim. In other words, we're banim, if you will. There's a really interesting Rashi at the end of the entire sugya. Rashi writes, Tashma da hadre mikre b'nei kelchai ayidei tshuva. Okay. First of all, it happens to be so totally appropriate that on the third day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we speak out this Rashi, but Rashi understands that the banim appellation only comes when we do tshuva. Okay. Which, I don't know if that was a simple reading of the Gemara, right? The Gemara basically is trying to argue that we're banim regardless of our behavior. Okay, but Rashi's insistent that that's with tshuva. Meaning, there's always a possibility, there's always a chance that we could still get back that banim status. Okay. But it's such an interesting Gemara, by the way. A couple things. Now, number one, you saw what just happened. Abai and Rava cannot learn the way the first opinion explained to Isi because they're darshing this pasuk for a different halach altogether. This question of whether or not we're banim, we're not banim, right? Meaning, it sounds like it's a halachic discussion. From the Gemara itself, we don't know what the halach is, but whether we're called children, whether we're not called children. But it's certainly interesting that machlokes tanaim as to whether or not we're still maintaining the status of banim. And obviously, Rebbe Meir, right? Did I say it right? Yeah. Rebbe Meir is going to be using our pasuk in order to teach me this halacha, which then means I can't use it to teach me the halachas of karcha and who's included and who's not included. Okay. Anyway, that's number one. And number two is that it's a halachic discussion or is it a hashkafic discussion? Really, really unclear. Unclear from the Gemara itself. Okay.
This psalm, you can see that the bonim really mean children. How can you previously, all of a sudden, you say bonim only means sons? And
Correct. In other words, previously the bonim was understood to mean the most literal sense of right, sons and not daughters. Okay. Enachinami. Okay. Let's wrap it up. We have a little bit more to go. We have a little bit of time. Okay, we are up to the next Mishnah and short sugya. This sugya, however, does demand that we know a lot of kachim and basically just various avodas that are done in the Beis HaMikdash. So, you'll forgive me, but I'm going to assume right now that the listener has basic ideas regarding kachim. I'm not going to give any kind of real introduction to any of the avodas that we're going to be describing over here. And the point of the Mishnah is extraordinarily simple, and that is that women are not included in these various avodas. Okay? They are excluded, which again is relevant to the discussion, the broader discussion we're having over here at the end of the first parak of Kedushin, and that is where women are included, where are women excluded. Okay, so, smichos and tenufos, hagashos, kemitzos, haktaros, Malikos, Kabbalos, Hazaos, so Nohagim Ba'anashim, V'Labanashim, Chutz Mimin Chasota, Nazir Shehein Menifos. So with two notable exceptions, women are excluded from doing the Avoda. And the two notable exceptions at the end of the Mishnah, Min Chasota. Now obviously Min Chasota, by the way, in other words, the Sota is the one bringing the Mincha, so she'll be doing the Tanufa, she'll be waving the Sota, and the Nazira. Nazira is also going to be doing a Hanafa as well. Okay. There is a larger question to ask over here. Okay, you, please forgive me. I didn't explain all the avodas in the Mishnah. I'm assuming that you know what all these are avodas are. And if not, come back again. We're going to be starting Seder Kachim about 2 years from now. Okay, give or take. Okay, there is a broader question to ask over here. Tosfos asks it, and that is that our Mishnah says that they are excluded from doing these avodas, they meaning women. And why? So in a moment, the Gemara is going to give us drashas, various drashas to explain each one of them. Tosfos says, I got a good idea and a simple idea. And that is, when can you do the avoda? Only during the day, not at night. Therefore, it falls under what? The category of mitzvah essay, shazman gram, is a time-bound mitzvah. So over here, they're excluded for a very simple reason of, in other words, these are positive time-bound mitzvahs. Tosfos asked that very question. You could see the Tosfos over here, last Tosfos on the Amud Vim Tomar. Amait Zerchra Bigmar Lemutin Hashem typically the Kula Mitzvah says Shazman Gramava, Shari Enam Nahagas, Elabiyam Kedixi, Biyam Savaso, Lakriv Karbanehem. Okay, a beautiful question, a really difficult question, and that is that why do I need, we knew, meaning it's the correct conclusion, but it should simply come out from the previous Sugya. We don't need another Sugya over here. So V'yeshlam and demikamakom. So here's Tosfos' suggestion, and that is the itzur kra lemiutinu ula mifso carbon menashim dilakra lo haviyadina shavoda psula behen lach itzur kra lemutu lemem demechale avoda va'avoda sam psula. So Tosfos says because here's all I would have known without the additional drushas coming up, and that is that women are barred from doing the avoda. But what if they did it? Okay, so if they did it, so fine. Shouldn't have done it, but if they did it, it's fine. That's what I would have said up until our upcoming sugya. What all these drushas are going to teach us is that not only shouldn't they do the avoda, they can't do the avoda. In fact, if they go ahead and they do the avoda, michulal, the avoda becomes profaned. It's not right. It's DQ'd. It's disqualified. That's what's being generated from the psukim and the drushas upcoming. That's Tosfos. Smicho, we run right to the Gemara, and here also I'm going to go very quickly. The Gemara is just going to simply attach a pasuk to all the halachas that we learn that women are not included in, meaning the avodas that women are not included in. So as far as smicha is concerned, dichsiv daber b'nei Yisrael v'samach. So b'nei Yisrael somchem and b'nos Yisrael somchos. Okay, we already asked your question a couple of times this morning. Why? It's good. It's really good, right? Sometimes the Gemara understands b'nei Yisrael to mean literally sons, not daughters. So like here, for example. So now, we're up to Tanufa. So Tanufa daber b'nei Yisrael v'heinif. So b'nei Yisrael menifim v'hein b'nos Yisrael menifos. The waving of various karbanos. So that is only going to be done by the men, not the women. So hagasha. So hagasha is by mincha, where you're presenting the mincha and you're bringing it proximate to the mizbeach. So dichziv is those torahs of mincha akrevosa b'nei aron v'lo b'nos aron. Kim mitzos. So that is inserting your hand into the mincha in order to take out a fistful of the mincha. That's the kometz. So dichziv eveso b'nei aron v'kamatz. B'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. Haktara. So burning on the Mizbeach. So dichziv v'hikiru oso b'nei Aaron. B'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. Malika, that's by a bird. So dichziv. Malat v'hikir. Itkish malika l'haktara. So the burning is only done by men. The malika is hukash to the burning. So malika can only be done by men. Kabbalah, that's the receiving of the blood. So dichsev v'hikrivu b'nei Aaron. Now the word hikrivu literally means to present, to bring closer. But v'amar mar. So this drasha we've had already a number of times, and that is hikrivu zu kabbalas adam. Hikrivu is a reference to kabbalas adam. Okay, the gemara over here does not elaborate, but anyway, the gemara is elsewhere. Once in chagiga. Anyway, it refers to kabbalas adam, and again only by men. Hazaa, that's the sprinkling of the blood onto the mizbech. So hazaa dehechaid de para. So elazer kasevba. So are we talking about the paraduma? It can't be a reference to the paraduma. The Torah uses elazer as your prototype. Obviously, elazer is only going to be doing the first paraduma, but still, all subsequent paradumas is going to be done by an elazer stand-in, meaning a man. So the Eid Panim, so Kona Mashiach Siba. Now, are we talking about the sprinkling that's done in the Kodesh HaKadosh and Yom Kippur? So that can't be because that's a Kohen Gadol. And that's only going to be a man. So Elal Hazah de Ben Of. So maybe it's the Hazah of a Chatos, of a Karmel Chatos, the Aseh B'Kav HaChomer, Mi Ben Son. Ma Ben Son Shalom Kavala Kohen L'Shechita So, Kavala Kohen L'Hazah So, Ben Of Shekavala Kohen L'Melika So, Eino Din Sheikva Lo, Hazah So. And the Gemara says, so we're talking about the sprinkling of the blood of a bird. And the Gemara says, and logic would dictate that that's correct. That can only be done by a man, not by a woman. Why? So the Gemara says, because here's the progression. In other words, when it comes to an animal where there, who could do shechita? Kohen, non-kohen. Who could do the hazah? Only kohen, and only male kohen. So when it comes to bird, so already we'll start with melika. Malika can only be done by a Kohen. So already starting from a position of restriction and limitation. So therefore, when we're talking about the Hazah, so there, obviously, we are going to maintain a restricted position, men, not women. Amalei Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yoshia Didare, did I skip the heading? Yes, I did. Let's go back to the heading. Chutz Mimin Chasota Nazira. Now, Amalei Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yoshia Didare. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yosha, who was living in his generation. Okay, in other words, obviously there are multiple Rabbi Yoshias, and it's just a way of the Gemara identifying which one. So lo sitzivakar chadamat li lahashmaitata minayin lemincha sota shetuna tenufa. Okay, don't sit down until you explain to me the following. Meaning, I'm so excited, I finally get to talk to you this question's been bothering me, and don't sit down until you explain to me. Mincha Sota. So Tanufa's done with it. How did you know that? How do we know that? So Minalan Begufaksiv Veinifas Amincha. So the Gemara says, now that can't possibly be your question, because here we'll just open up a Chumash and I'll show you a pasuk in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Ela Tanufa Bebalim Minalan. Okay, good. You're right. That wasn't my question. What I wanted to know is that Tanufa is going to be done by the owner. So Asya Yad Yad Mishlamim. So there, so that requires an answer. So we have Joshua's for that. So we have Yad, Gzereshava. Ksivach v'lakacha koim Yad Aisha, Ksivhasam, Yadav Tivienu. So we have Yad mentioned by the Mincha Sota. We also have it by the Shlamim mentioned in Vayikra Perek Zayin. So ma kan koin, afla halan koin, over here it's a koin. The pasuk says v'lakacha koin, Miyad Aisha, es minchas kanos mehenif. So clearly the Kohen is going to be doing Tanufa in the Parsha of Sota. It couldn't be any clearer. So too over there by the Shlamim, it's going to be a Kohen. Now, we're going to take a Pasuk over there by the Shlamim. The Pasuk over there reads, I'm reading the Pasuk, the Gemara doesn't cite it. Yadav tevienu es ishe Hashem, lehanif oso Tanufa lifnei Hashem. So over there, that's a reference to the owner. Contextually, it's talking about the owner. The owner is going to be Tanufa, be doing Tanufa by the Shlamim. So now, whip that back over here. Afkan balim. So too over here, the owner is going to be doing tenufa, i.e. the woman. Okay, now the Gemara over here is comfortably calling the woman the owner of the carbon sota, the mincha sota. Meaning, right, we had this discussion back in Sota, and that is that the woman's paying for it? The man's paying for it? Like, in other words, who's the benefactor of the actual carbon itself? But over here, the woman's described as the owner. So haketzad, so how can I have the Kohen being doing the Tanufa and the Sota doing the Tanufa as well? So the Gemara says, we've heard this Gemara already before. So that is Kohen Machnis Yad Tachas Yad Balim Umeinif. So it's going to be hand on hand. In other words, Kohen and owner are going to both be doing the Tanufa. That's true by Shlamim, and that's true by the Sota as well. Okay, Phil's question. So we have entertained this question before, and that is that the Kohen and the woman are going to be doing the Tanufa together. And there's going to be Nagi over there. There's going to be contact over there. Rishonim already asked this question. So Ashkechan Sota, Nizira Minalan, Asya Kafkaf Misota. And how do I know that we're going to extend it also to the halachas of Nizira? Another Gzera Shavah for that as well. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Okay, two big topics that we covered over the course of today. Topic number one, which took up most of today's daf, and that is a fourth possible Isser in the Torah that does not apply to women. Again, our Mishnah only holds that there are three, Hashchata, Hakafa, and Baal Tatam LeMesim. And then for the first part of today's daf, we entertain that there's a fourth Isser, according to Isi, right? The Tana Isi, there's a fourth Isser that doesn't apply to women, and that is the Isser of Lo Sasimu Karcha, Bein Einechem. Not to put a bald spot on your head over the loss and the grieving of a loved one. According to Isi, this applies only to men, not to women. How did he arrive at that conclusion? So over the course of today's daf, three different approaches amongst the Tanaim, one seemed to have been a Braisa, and the other one was Rav Abaye. Okay, and then the Gemara went through, why did Rav and Abaye not like each other's drasha? Why didn't they like the Braisa's drasha? We went through all that. That took us through most of today's daf. Then, a series of avodas that can only be done by men, not by women. The Mishnah outlined which avodas can be done by men, not by women. Tosa says that if women do it, it's mamish pasul. It's a DQ. It disqualifies. And then we went through all the sourcing of that, including the idea that there is going to be two menachos that a woman's going to do hanafa on. One is the sota and the other is the nazira. How do we know that? The Gemara sourced that as well.